Hello friends, this session we are going to deal with chapter 8, which is all about tourism in different states and territories of India. We are going to deal with each state one by one and discuss certain tourist attractions which are supposedly the main ones for the tourism industry with that particular states. Now we are going to deal with the introduction, that is the tourist attractions which are there, the union territories and the states of India. Now India is a federal union state which comprising of 28 states and 7 union territories. India is a country with rich and varied history. Civilization includes ancient, medieval, pre-Mughal and colonial past. So with respect to the history, we understand that we have certain things like Mughal architecture, we have British colonial architecture and its impact on the architecture which was present in India. So we will see that such an impact is seen in all or most of the tourist or cultural heritage, the buildings and monuments that we have. So it can be the palaces, the forts or the museums. So overall, all of this past has made an impact on the architecture and culture of the people. Today's modern India is vibrant, independent and democratic. Each state reflects its own unique identity and this makes India a most exciting tourist destination. Now when a tourist destination is defined, it is defined with the way of what it has to offer to the tourist. So when a tourist is coming and visiting India, it is the variety that is overwhelming for him. So if he is going to a particular state, the kind of experience that he has is overall, that is, he can experience most of things in each of the states. It is different and it is unique in its own way. So if he is going in North India, he will be experiencing a different culture. If he goes towards South, it will be a different culture. Even in a state itself, there may be various languages, various cultures and different sort of things that he has to experience. So this is adding up to his tourist experience as such. Now when we talk about India being made with union territories and states, when we talk about union territories, these are known as union territories because the governance or the administration of this particular divisions are coming directly under the union government, hence the term union territories. Now they have their own elected governments, are ruled directly by the union government. Union territories also have the option of having a legislature with elected members and a chief minister. So the type of governance depends upon the area of that particular union territory along with the population ratio that it shares. The president of India appoints an administrator or lieutenant governor for each union territory. There are 7 such in India. Now the first one that we have, and we all might know, we have Indian Andaman and Nicobar Islands, those are there. It is our in Union Territory. It's a group of 572 serene scenic islands. The capital is Port Blair. Open beaches and ocean brimming with interesting marine life and coral gardens is one of the attractions that Andaman Nicobar has. The main attraction of Andaman Nicobar would be the exclusiveness that it provides to a tourist destination. They are away from the mainland and they are still very endemic. That is, most of the culture is endemic to Andaman Nicobar. So this is an interesting experience that the tourist has. If you can see the map, that's where Andaman Nicobar are located. And you can see these are discontinuous islands, a group of islands. Most of these islands are not habited and most of these islands are not even allowed to be used as a stayover. That is, the night stay is not allowed. There are some islands which it is allowed for the tourists, both domestic and international. Port Blair is the only sizable town on the islands and serves as the administrative capital. Now what we have here is the cellular jail, one of the attractions that we have. The cellular jail, the architecture is such that it has the 7 arms which are going across and there is a center in the cellular jail. It is famous because it was a year where Britishers have put our freedom fighters during the struggle of independence. So this looks like 7 arms coming from the center. Now, what we have here, a tourist, what they can experience are the entire cellular jail, which is today preserved. There are different sections or different rooms wherein a museum is created to tell you how exactly the cellular jail was in that time. Again, Andaman Nicobar cellular jail is famous for Swatantra Veer Savarkar, who was here. And there are annual trips. There are annual trips taken here to remember what he has done for India. So apart from that, apart from this attractions, there are many other attractions. One of such is Mount Harriet, a scenic spot here wherein one can go and experience the nature which Andaman Nicobar has to offer. Now, these are one of the beaches that Andaman Nicobar has, is Carbine's Cove Beach. There are other beaches which are famous in Andaman Nicobar. Some of them are more famous for scuba diving, some of them are more famous for corals. Andaman Nicobar is also a favored destination for honeymoon. Then there is one national marine park, which is Mahatma Gandhi National Marine Park at Andaman and Nicobar. The Mahatma Gandhi Marine National Park at Vandur is at a distance of 29 kilometers from Port Blair, covering an area of 281.5 square kilometers. Now, there are these two islands which are one of the famous ones, Red Skin Island and Jolly Boy Islands, in the park with nice beaches and spectacular undersea views of coral and marine life. So again, the main thing that we have here are the corals that Andaman has to offer. So this is one of the attraction that tourists flock to, because we have crystal clear water and in which corals are viewed very nicely. Comparatively, it is a tourist site or a tourist destination where less people go. So what happens is a tourist will get more space to explore the corals. Now, water sports such as swimming, snorkeling, diving are some of the tourist attractions. There are many resorts which offer these as a part of tour packages. So they are promoted with inclusive of so and so tour. Some of them also give you a crash courses wherein you have to first study what divings are or snorkeling are, say for 1 hour or 2 hours with respect to snorkeling, and then you are allowed to do so. So that is one of the tourist activities that can be taken. Now, there is Havelock Island, one of the most famous islands here. The attraction has an Elephant Beach and Kala Patthar Beach, out of which Elephant Beach is famous for an elephant which is there at the beach. It is supposedly one of the only elephant which is in the sea. That is, it's actually a land elephant. But the attraction or the person who owns that elephant is saying that it's a sea elephant or something like that. Then Kala Patthar Beach is another beach which is one of the Havelock Island's main attractions. We have Ross Island, wherein old colonial buildings are there. The one here, Smritika, is also one of the monuments that you can go to. Now, these old colonial buildings are worth seeing because of the architecture that it has. Then there is one Viper Island. The name of Viper Island, it is suggestive of vipers, but however the name has come up because of a ship which was found in ruin, and the ship's name was Viper. So that was Viper Island. It was infamous because of it being a site wherein Britishers used to take those people who were supposedly for a harsher punishment. So these were left here at Viper Island. Then there is a Neil's Land Island. It's a luxurious destination and it is very famous for snorkeling because it has those shallow waters along with the corals which is there, and it has much clearer water near its front. So that's one which is famous as a luxurious destination. Then we have Barren Island, which is supposedly the only which contains the only active volcano of India, and it was erupted quite a long time ago. So these are islands. Some of them have permits wherein tourists can only go visit and come back on the same day. Some of them are allowed for a stay but with permit, and others are allowed on permit, say with respect to a group tour and not on an individual basis. So the rules keep on changing or updating depending upon the government rules here. Now there is one more, Baratang, which is famed for its limestone caves and mud volcano. India's only active volcano, here it is, is situated in Baran Island, just 120 kilometers away from Port Blair. Now this tiny circular island covers an area of 8 square kilometers. Baran Island's active volcano erupted twice, 1994-95, after a period of 177 years. So that was the year when we had a volcano eruption. Tourists are allowed to visit this island only on boarding vessels. Landing on this island is not permitted. So there are many permits which are required. So if you are going to go ahead and plan certain trips to Andaman and Nicobar Islands, it is very essential for you to know what are the rules which are pertaining on that particular day or during that particular time. Now the Nicobar Islands of the Andaman and Nicobar group are separated from Andaman Island by 10 degree channel. Now it comprises of 28 islands measuring 1841 square kilometers. Now what we have here are, these are more scenic islands which has the palms, casuarinas and lots of scenic beauty. The giant robber crab, monkeys with long tail, Nicobari pigeons and megapod are found in Nicobar Islands. Now these are certain species which are endemic to those islands, that is they are found only here, and hence Nicobari pigeon, which is the name of which is derived from the place where it is found. Now the Indira Point is supposedly our southernmost point or the southernmost part of India. Unlike the popular belief that Kanyakumari is the last point of India, it is not so. That's Indira Point that we have on Great Nicobar Island, which forms the last point of India or the southernmost part of India. If you see the map, Indira Point will be on towards other nations rather than India. So, but however, that's a part of India. So that's Nicobari pigeon, which is endemic to Nicobar Islands. Now we move on to Chandigarh, which is again a union territory towards North India. It is a state and union territory in India that serves as the capital of two states, Haryana and Punjab. So Chandigarh is unique in a way because it is supposedly famous for being the only planned city in India. So if you take an aerial view of Chandigarh, you will see that the roads are almost parallel to each other, and we have a central main lane going. So that happens only when it's planned, unlike most of the cities in India which are not planned but are chaotically planned or unorganizedly planned. While the as the city keeps on growing, we keep on planning the city. So Chandigarh is supposed to be the only planned city in India. Now, it was planned by the famous French architect Le Corbusier and is known as one of the best experiments in urban planning and modern architecture in 20th century in India. So, here we have Le Corbusier, who is a very famous architect across the world. He has many monuments which are typically his, that is, he had a style of architecture which is said to be by him. That's Le Corbusier style of architecture. He's French. So Chandigarh has many such monuments which are signature style of this architect. Now here are some monuments. We have the Assembly Building Capitol Complex. Now this is something which Chandigarh has, and there is one monument which is Open Hand Monument. It is one of the famous structures in the world, and it is famed because of the French architect who has done it. There is more than one open hand in the world. So if you search open hand monuments, you might find more than one. One is located in Chandigarh. It gives a peace message telling you that this world is one. So that's one hand monument that we have. In the night it is lighted, and it is one of the most significant landmarks in Chandigarh. It was renowned architecture, urbanist and writer Le Corbusier who laid the plan for the structure. Designed in the form of giant hand made of metal sheets that rotates like a weathercock, indicating the direction of the wind. It is 14 meters high and weighs around 50 tons, open hand in the city is the official emblem. So these are the facts related to the open hand monument. Now, when we're doing this session, I would like you to suggest that you can search this particular monuments and see the images of them on it, so you have a better idea about how such this monuments are. There are each and every monuments or each and every structure has a story behind it or a legend behind it, which makes it more interesting. So when a person or a tourist is visiting that particular monument, it is not only seeing that gives him the experience, but it is the reason or various legends or stories or the meaning of that particular monument that matters more. So that will be something which adds to the tourist experience. Now, the other tourist attractions that we have in Chandigarh are the Pinjore Gardens, Sukhna Lake, Rock Garden, Union Territory. This is also another part of Rock Garden here. Now, when we are talking about Rock Garden, it is one of the most beautiful experiments that has been done with respect to making something beautiful from waste. So, this entire garden is designed in such a way that it has every single thing like broken pieces of glass, broken pieces of plastic, bangles, all those things are taken, and something beautiful and creative is done with respect to Rock Garden. Again, there are various lightings which are there. There are various spots inside the garden itself, and that's one of the area in a Rock Garden. So it's worth a visit to know how waste can be beautifully reused. Then Sukhna Lake is one of the point wherein boating is there. It's one of the very famous evening point for a leisure walk or other kind of pleasure activities that we can have. Pinjore Garden, one of the gardens which are designed on the Mughal garden front, or it has the courtyards, or it is equipped with all the fountains, the water which goes in the middle of the garden, and again it has terraces, so there are levels, that's terraced gardens that we have. So that's in Chandigarh. Now the next union territory that we are dealing with is Dadra Nagar Haveli. Now when we talk about Dadra Nagar Haveli, most of us might not be aware that it also has lots of things to offer, that is with respect to tourism. So Dadra Nagar Haveli has some of the gardens which are famous, such as Van Ganga and Daman Ganga activities. It is near a lake, so that's a lake garden which is spread across 58 hectares. It has a central island connected with Japanese style bridge. So, if you search the images of these gardens online, you will see these are walks through grass. Then there are various pools which are built in Japanese style. Then there are different kinds of birds which are there, that is the ducks and the swans which are there. So, those are Van Ganga and Daman Ganga. It has different kinds of trees, and then there is Daman Ganga, which is a spot for adventure sports activities. There is Hirva Van, named after the tribal deity, the green goddess, that's Hirva and Van. So Van is the forest, Hirva is green. It's another beautiful garden located in the entry point of Silvassa. This is also one of the garden which is very famous for walking or just enjoying the scenic beauty here. Now we have Tribal Museum, which is a very good museum housing different kinds of tribal artifacts inside it. So a visit to it will show you which are on displays, various instruments which are used by the tribals here, then how the fishing and hunting equipments were being used. Along with there are dummies which are created to show you what kind of clothes the tribals wear, how the household activities were there, how the houses were made. So it is worth a visit. That's Tribal Museum. Now here is Van Ganga Garden, and that's one of the display which is there at Tribal Museum. Now we have Daman and Diu, which has again been on the coastal regions. It has beach spots here. Daman and Diu towards coastal and not so famous for its what I should say touristic attractions. Many of you will be pleasantly surprised by finding a visit here will be quite worth it. Now Devka Beach has an amusement park with a number of colorful fountains. Most of these mountains are lighted, and it is again one of the very good beach to go here. Moti Daman Fort, which dates back 16th century, Large number of Portuguese gentry used to reside within the confinement of the fort with their families. The Hilsa Aquarium is there, which gives you a good collection of exotic and colorful fish. Now, Church of Bom Jesus. This is one of the famous churches in Daman and Diu. Now, if you when a tourist visits Bom Jesus Church, the inside of the church is quite exclusively done. It is decorated overwhelmingly, and it is impressive. Most importantly, it is very, very old. So what happens is it is worth visiting because it has still been it has been survived for so long. So the rosewood carvings which are there are quite impressive. Then there is Gangeshwar Temple. Gangeshwar Temple is just on the beach. So what happens is when the high tide comes in, the five lingas which are there, the shivlings which are there, are in midst of the sea. So when the high tide comes, the lingas are submerged in the water. So Gangeshwar Temple is again one of the famous temples at Daman and Diu. This is the fort of Diu that we saw earlier. This is the Gangeshwar Temple. If you can see the five lingas over there, along with the serpent image, then this is the Church of Bom Jesus. Yeah, if you can see, there are three panels which are there, exclusive carvings of the rosewood, and which are still at in a very good condition. So that is one of the famous church at Daman and Diu. Now we come to Delhi. Delhi is the capital of India, and it comes under Union Territory. Now most of the monuments at Delhi are quite famous. We are aware of that. One cannot forget India Gate, which is situated along the ceremonial Rajpath Avenue, the Rajpath, our national road, if we can say. Avenue is a memorial raised in honor of the Indian soldiers who died during the Afghan wars and War I. The names of the soldiers who died in this wars are inscribed on this walls, on the walls of India Gate. So anyone who visits India Gate, there will be a garden near India Gate. Then there is one more monument or a small chhatri around India Gate. Again, India Gate has the famous flame which is always burning in memory of the honor of Indian soldiers. Now that is India Gate. The entire entire area in and around India Gate is very famous for being one of the tourist attractions, one of our heritage monuments here. Now we have the Sansad Bhavan, the circular building which we have always seen either in the news or in many of the TV channels that we have. Designed by the British architects Sir Edwin Lutyens and Sir Herbert Baker in 1912 and 13. So we have this semicircular huge building which has the impact of British colonial, along with it has a big structure which is there. So the other one is the Rashtrapati Bhavan, built with a mix of again Western and Indian style, was originally built for the Governor General of India. Today it is the Rashtrapati Bhavan that we use it for. Now that's India, that's the surrounding, that's India Gate, the surrounding garden. We also have fountains in that garden. Then this is the Sansad Bhavan, the semicircular, the circular building that we have. If you can see the columns which are there, which tells us a British colonial impact on that. Now we have the Rashtrapati Bhavan here. Again, it is an amalgamation, beautiful amalgamation of British architecture along with the Indian. So we have the dome here. We have again the columns which are there. Then there are certain other beautiful architectures inside the Rashtrapati Bhavan, again outside nearer to the gate that we have. So that is Rashtrapati Bhavan, India Gate and Sansad Bhavan. Now the Lodhi Gardens. It was famous, famous gardens. It is part and parcel of Delhiites. It is some people go there for morning walks, people go there for evening walks. It is, these are beautiful gardens which have very good walks, shrubs, lots of greenery, lots of trees, and beautifully laid out. So that's Lodhi Garden. Humayun's Tomb. Humayun's tomb was built by Humayun's widow, Hamida Banu Begum, designed by a Persian architect named Mirak Mirza Ghias. Now, Humayun's tomb is also the UNESCO site. Long back, it was in a very bad condition with people in and around Humayun's tomb. Using some parts which were a part of Humayun's tomb are heritage today. After being UNESCO heritage site, there is heavy restoration work which has been done on this tomb. It is famous for intricately carved jali work. It is faced towards Mecca. The direction of the tomb is towards Mecca. Then again, it is made of red sandstone. Restoration work has made sure that we have a wonderful architecture right now. After that, there is a dome which has the inside dome which has underneath beautiful designs. So if you can find certain images of Humayun's tomb, the interior and the exterior has a niche, all right, which is so beautifully done that it seems to be twicely carved. So like we have in our homes when we have the false ceilings which give us a visual effect of having two ceilings, all right, or having niches which are not present. So similarly, in Humayun's exterior arc has those two niches which are so beautifully done that it seems to be give a 3D effect, which is which gives a two-dimensional structure. Although it is a two-dimensional structure which is there, the niches which are there. So that's Humayun's tomb. It is perfectly aligned. So if one sees the Humayun's tomb, the architecture is beautifully aligned to that. So it is one of the UNESCO heritage site that we have. Then we have Purana Killa. Purana Killa, rightly the name suggests, this is one of the oldest forts in Delhi. Now, if any of the stories that go with it, it is supposedly the unluckiest fort to the ruler. So there are many legends when a particular ruler has taken or sieged Purana Killa, either the ruler has died, or the ruler has lost his kingdom, or certain other unlucky things have happened. So Purana Killa, the famous one was Humayun, who fell down the astronomical tower just after he sieged Purana Killa. So there are many legends which are here. Again, it is having beautiful architecture, which is amalgamation of Persian and Mughal architecture here. It is supposed to be built by Pandavas, renovated by Humayun, which later with later modifications by Sher Shah Suri. It is a monument of bold design, which is strong, straightforward, and every inch a fortress. So if again you go on searching the images, you will see how beautifully the entire design is happening. There are many legends which you can read, which are associated with Purana Killa. When a tourist actually visits to such forts or monuments, the main highlights which are which attract them or which make them remember the place are the stories and legends which are associated with that particular monument. Now, these are the pictures. Here we have Humayun's tomb. It resembles to Taj Mahal, if you can see here. These are the Lodhi Gardens. Lodhi Gardens, inside Lodhi Gardens also there are different mosques, different other monuments, which are, some of them are in very good condition, very good stages or phases of here, and the other ones are slightly depleted or in ruins. Now, this is the Purana Killa that we have. Now comes the Red Fort. No one can forget that was made in 1639 when Shah Jahan decided to shift his capital from Agra to Delhi. Within 8 years of Shah Jahanabad was completed with Red Forts, Delhi's seventh fort, ready in all its magnificence to receive the emperor. On every Independence Day at Red Fort, the flag of India is hoisted by Prime Minister of India. So it is one of the iconic monuments that we have. If you search for the images at Red Fort, it is a beautiful structure and it is lighted. So the night images are more magnificent if we search the Red Fort. Again, during the Independence Day, it becomes a real fortress with lots of security on it. Next is the Salimgarh Fort, which is now a part of the Red Fort. Complex was constructed on an island of the Yamuna River in 1546. So there is a connection bridge, or I should say a road, which connects Salimgarh Fort with Red Fort. That's the brilliant view of a Red Fort that we have. And these are in the interior of Red Fort. That's the night view of Red Fort, which is lighted. So if you can see the interior here, there are different kinds of monuments or halls, which are Diwane Khas, Diwane Aam, then there is Hammam, then there is Rang Mahal, which is inside the Red Fort. Now here, if you can see the pillars, it is said that the tourists, tourists when they are visiting, there are many different things that the tourist guide tells you and tells to the tourist. Some of them are right, some of them are just what a tourist guide tells to have an extra tip. Now here, what they say is that the Diwane the Diwane Aam has been built in such a way that the pillars are designed in such a way that the king or the emperor, who is sitting on the central position on a raised platform, can see everyone, and none of the pillars will come in front of his vision. So the pillars or the arches which are designed were designed specifically. Then there are certain other other things. There are many photographers who will be giving those different kinds of poses, wherein it's a part and parcel of the tourist experiences when one goes to such monuments. Now comes the Qutub Minar, the great minaret which is there. Undoubtedly one of the finest architectures that the India has to give to the world. It is supposedly built so that it can be, that there can be a call for prayers from this minar. It is located in South Delhi. It was built by Qutubuddin Aibak of the Slave Dynasty, who took possessions of the Delhi, possession of the Delhi in 1206. It is fluted red stone tower. It is also a UNESCO heritage site, which towers up to the height of 72.5 meters and is covered with intricate carvings and verses of Quran. So what one can see here is Qutub Minar. We have seen in most of the films, there are many shootings which have taken place in and around Qutub Minar. What makes it so unique is the intricately designed carvings. So it tapers towards upper side, and the carvings of Quran which are there are so delicately carved. Apart from that, on each lever which goes to the next tapering lever, there are borders which are done. That is, the entire circumference is bordered in very intricate carved designs. So the Qutub Minar was not built by one single person. It was started by one, and then many generations went on to build the Qutub Minar. So most of the times it was half done, then the other king came and he completed the work. So in many ways, Qutub Minar is the first monument built by a Muslim ruler in India, held at the beginning of a new style in art and architecture called the Indo-Islamic style. So considering the fact that this particular style came or started by Qutub Minar in India, so this remains one of the finest architectures. Again, if you go and search for the images of Qutub Minar, there are many which gives you different views. So it will be from top or from bottom or towards the circumference which has the inscriptions of Quran. Then definitely search that. Now let's see the Indo-Islamic style that we can see in Qutub Minar. Here is the minaret that we have. If anyone has seen Fana, that's a very good film for Delhi Darshan that we can see. Now here, what we were talking about, the different kinds of divisions of the minaret that has been done, and it tapers towards the end. So if you can just see the height, that's a tree. And that's the minaret. So that is how heighted it is. And the other fort, one of the other fort which in, Delhi has, is Tughlaqabad Fort, named after Tughlaq, who was the founder of Tughlaq Shahi or the Tughlaq dynasty in India. One of the legends that goes with Tughlaqabad Fort here is when Tughlaq started building this fort, he was very ambitious about it. That is, he wanted to build the fort as soon as possible. So what happened is he asked everybody in that particular district to join in, the workers who were there to join in. So there was one Sufi saint who was there, who required to these particular workers, but since they were working here on Tughlakabad fort, and that too on pressure from Tughlaq, his work remained. So Sufi very famously has cursed Tughlaq, saying that Dilli abhi dur hai. That's one of the saying which came with Tughlaqabad fort. So if you can search the legend which is associated with Tughlaqabad, you will come up with these curses that Sufi saint has given. And very rightly, what happened is after the fort was almost to be built, Tughlaq lost while coming back to Delhi. He was dead in between. So Delhi bahut dur hai, he never made it to Delhi. So that's the curse which was there from the saint. Now let's check another very famous area in Delhi. No one can forget the Chandni Chowk, which most of the people have heard about. Most of the people have seen in films or in various other documentations. Now this Chandni Chowk, located in the old city or old Delhi as we say, is a fascinating market and India's largest wholesale market. So if anyone wants to have that overwhelming chaotic experience that Indian markets usually give you, that's Chandni Chowk for you. Now the Chandni Chowk is named on the part was earlier also it was a market. It was built in such a way that it resembled a crescent moon. So that's how the word Chandni Chowk came. Again, it was famous for Chandi traders, that silver traders. So again, Chandni Chowk was there. Similarly, there another thing which is associated by the name is the moonlit. So a beautiful, since it was a huge courtyard, it used to have a very good bright moonlit courtyard which was there. So that's Chandni Chowk. It was created by Shah Jahan, the builder of Taj Mahal. Legend has it that Shah Jahan planned the Chandni Chowk so that his daughter could shop for all that she wanted. Now with the most famous mosque of Delhi, Jama Masjid is in the vicinity, that's nearer, along with Sisganj Gurudwara, Jain Mandir and a lot of small temples, the place witnesses genuine cultural harmony. So here is where you can where you can see the mosque, where you can see the temple and the Gurudwara as well. So when one goes here, there will be lots and lots of shops giving typical Delhi eatables. Then again, things that you might want to buy, which are local Delhi things and at a very good price, that's where you have to be. Now, a typical eatery shop here. We have Jama Masjid in the vicinity, Sisganj Gurudwara, and that's Lal Jain Mandir and Gauri Shankar Temple going together. So these are nearer to Chandni Chowk. Jama Masjid is famous for having beautiful architecture here. It has a very large capacity to accommodate the praying people who are coming there for prayers. They have the minarets. If you can see the image, they have the minarets which are excellently coordinated, or what I should say, they are elevated, alienated in such a way that all of them look good together as a monument. Its largest mosque in India can hold incredible 25,000 devotees, and it has taken 13 years to complete. So those are the facts which go with Jama Masjid. So it has one the typical style which is the Mughal architecture along with the Persian impact on that. What we have is Rajghat. Now we all know what it is famous for. It's located on the banks of Yamuna. It is where our Mahatma Gandhi's final resting place is located. Now the father of the nation's place is located. Now in and around Rajghat, there are many other memorials for different leaders in India. And there are the Shantivan, the place where India's first Prime Minister Jawaharlal Nehru was cremated. Then there is Bahai Temple. It's commonly referred to as a lotus temple which proclaims the unity of all people, that is all people and religions. Now there are many other politically important leaders whose memorials are built in and around Rajghat. So some of them might be Rajiv Gandhi's memorial, which is also built here. Now that's Rajghat for Mahatma Gandhi's memorial here. This is Rajiv Gandhi memorial. If you can see, these are the lotus petals, and there are specific numbers of lotus petals which are associated with the number of states which are there. So that is the Rajiv Gandhi memorial. Next, what we have is Connaught Place. Now, it will be strikingly opposite to Old Delhi. So, it is like if a tourist visits Old Delhi or say Chandni Chowk area, and then he suddenly visits Connaught Place, it would be as if going to two different countries. Now, Connaught Place is largest commercial areas in Delhi. Most of the important commercial bodies have their headquarters in this place. There is a heritage building, and there are many shopping centers or shopping shops which give most of the high class brands here. There are certain which are privately owned business houses which are also present in this area. So Connaught Place can be considered to be a high end place for the Delhiites. The next one that we have is Jantar Mantar. Jantar Mantar is the huge observatory, astronomical observatory that is there. There are more than one in India. Now it consists, the one which is present in Delhi, consists of 13 architectural astronomy instruments. It was built by Maharaja Jai Singh II, and it is a UNESCO World Heritage Site. Now when a tourist visits here, it is very good to how our earlier people were so curious about astronomy and how they went ahead and built such huge instruments which are even today giving you the correct timing as with respect to the famous sundial which is there. So if anyone hires the tourist guides which are especially there and know most of the, or rather almost all the details with respect to those 13 architectural astronomical instruments. So some of the tour guide might just come up and say, I will tell you the time and how it is calculated. So with respect to the shadow of the which is falling on that particular astronomical instruments. Now that's Jantar Mantar. The National Museum is one of the largest museums in India, which is located in Delhi. Again, it will take a lot of time for people to actually see the entire museum. It houses various artifacts across India, from across India. Now that's Connaught Place, one of the buildings in Connaught Place. We have Jantar Mantar. If you can see the large instruments which are there for studying the astronomy and other astronomical important events which were used earlier by the kings. Now that's the National Museum, one of the artifact which is on display on National Museum. So these are some of the sites in Delhi that we have. Now before moving ahead to Lakshadweep, it is again one of the island and union territory that we have. It has a group of islands. These are Agati, Amni, Androt, Bangaram, Kadmat, Kalpani, Kavarati, Minicoy. Again, with respect to these islands, there are some which are out of reach or are not permitted to be visited. Most of these islands will require permits. There are certain other rules which are there, that is the stay might not be allowed or it is only there for a day visit. So while sending a particular tourist to this island, these rules have to be taken in requirements. Now the islands have beautiful greenery, crystal clear water and coral atolls. What do we mean by coral atolls? These are the corals which are actually supporting the island. So these corals are there and the island is actually being supported by such atolls. So these are known as the coral atolls which are surrounding the islands. So Lakshadweep is a destination for water sports activities like snorkeling, reef walking, scuba diving, canoeing, kayaking and sailing yachts. Now, ideally, it is again isolated from the mainland, so it makes one of the most important attraction or the attractive or the USP point of Lakshadweep its isolation. So, ideally, the tourist will want to visit this islands to have a quiet time. Then there is one other group which might want to have all these water sports activities, crystal clear water, lots of corals and amazing, what I should say, amazing facilities which are provided by most of the resort owners over there. So these are certain things which are one of the activities here.